You know, you shouldn't just pray for praying's sake. You have to have an objective when you pray. Your objective is the first transfer. The key to the kingdom of God is to get your life, who you are, your spirit, your soul, and your body in the presence of the Lord. So many times we want God to come to us, and there is a time God comes, but you're going to find more scriptures relating to the compass of going to him. Come unto me, all you that labor. Ho, all that thirst, come to the waters. It's the invitation of heaven to come. It's the invitation, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest of all. Having therefore boldness to enter into. We are granted access by faith into this grace. It's access. Say access. The jurisdictional transfer. The day I learned that I could pull my emotions. Your spirit is seated with Christ. Positionally, have to understand God deals in positional truth. For instance, you've been raised together with him. You may not feel like it, but you're positionally raised and your body is dead. The reason why he called your body dead is because it has an old system working in it. It has sin, but an old system as well. So he declared that old system dead because he had to leave you in your body, but he quickens your mortal body. He'll quicken it with life, but he declared its capacity to reign over your life. And the systems of the world, he declared that dead. So God deals in positional truth. It's faith that executes those positional truths. It's faith that moves you from one jurisdiction to another. The day I learned to pull my emotions, and if you're going to be a minister in this lifetime, you have to learn what to do with your emotions. You have to do something. I don't care how high you get, you're always going to have a battle. As long as you live in this earth, you're going to have a battle. So you have to learn what to do with your emotions. Because emotions are crazy. They'll serve God today, this morning. They'll be high in the spirit, and you walk out that door and they will take you low. How low can you go? Emotions will go high and they'll go low. Some people haven't even keeled, but when you're into spiritual warfare, you have to know what to do with those emotions. Some people go drown them. In the past, I used to go just sink myself in a movie or something just to get away from the pressure. But then I learned what to do with them. I learned that I could pull them in to a place where God dwells. I learned I can pull all of me into that place by faith. As you learn your inherited rights and you learn how to move into the kingdom of God, once you learn to pull yourself in there, those emotions can turn on a dime. I mean, it's amazing. All this warfare, because the Bible says the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. He sits at the gate. He sits at the door. And you'll be pressing in. And all of a sudden you shift into the kingdom. And all of a sudden your emotions go from pressure to peace. Turmoil to rest. I mean, in a second. When you learn how to do that. Otherwise, you're going to get beat up. You ever see ministers sometime? They've been around a while and they look beat up. Because they are beat up. They're beat up because they don't know how to escape the pressure. If you don't learn how to escape the pressure, you're going to live with undue warfare in your life. You can battle the devil all day long, but I learned another secret. I can get above him. I'm raised far above the principalities and the powers because I sit with him. Once you learn to move into that jurisdictional place, your spirit, soul, body, emotions, mind. How about your mind? Everybody ever the pressure on the mind? The mind, I mean, if you're with the pray and all of a sudden you've got 1,000 things you've got to do and your mind gets very active. And you're sitting there trying to pray and your mind's out there solving tomorrow's problems, dealing with yesterday's issues. I mean, it's already, you got 1,000 things. You think that's just normal. Amazing how your mind doesn't get active when it's subjecting to a movie. It just centers right in if it's a good movie. Yeah, a long one like Titanic. You can watch the whole thing and not be bothered. Take that same 3 hours and try to sit yourself down and every part of you, spirit, soul, mind, body, emotions, will go crazy. You'll look at your watch every 5 minutes. That's why they've come up with 5 minute quiet time. Because that's all the flesh can take. It's 5 minutes of quiet time. Jesus, can you not pray 1 hour when you first start? And an hour seems like forever, but when you're in the spirit, an hour will go like that. Once you cross over the boundary, you're not looking at your watch. It's amazing sometimes you be caught up and you come out like 2 or 3 hours. It felt like 30 minutes because in eternity, there's no time. So once you learn that jurisdictional shift with your life, it's going to go well for you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. He said, learn of me. Learn how this works. It's not going to come naturally. You're going to have to learn like anything else in life. You have to learn how to move. You got to learn how to enter into jurisdictional transfer. Once you learn to do that, then you can start bringing your stuff in there. What do you mean your stuff? Like your pot of oil. Like your last loaf of bread. Like the widow woman. See, these prophets, Elijah, Jesus, they knew how to do this. They knew what to do. They could take a loaf of bread and that's all they said. Well, what do you have? That's enough. What do you have? And they, all of them say nothing. We don't have nothing. They all said nothing, but we have this. They have a nothing and then a but. I have nothing, but I've got this pot of oil. We've got nothing, but I've got this last cake of meal. We have nothing, Lord, but this little lad here has got 5 loaves and 2 fish. But the men of God that understands jurisdictional transfer, they know how to take nothing and begin. It's not just the last offering of the widow's mite that makes it work. It's not just the last offering, it's the transference of that. When you're giving to God, it's not just the mechanical giving. People think about just mechanically give. It's the transfer of getting what is yours, the labor of your life, into the kingdom. Once you get in the kingdom, things start happening. When you get your life in the kingdom, things start happening. You know when you're in the kingdom because things happen. You know because things start happening. I mean, just the blessing of God's just come on us. Just amazing. Just things start happening. I mean, when's the last time your dentist, you go to your dentist, and I went to the dentist, and long story, but she found a root canal she couldn't deal with. She goes, I'm going to send you to somebody. I'm like, oh, and this guy, he was a piece of work. He goes, oh, this is trophy tooth, trophy tooth. He goes, I have to go get a special instrument, 30 millimeters long, and he's drilling while he's talking to me like this. I'm like, he goes, this is like in the fishing world, like a 500-pound marlin. He goes, I can show this to anybody. But my dentist, he goes, oh, don't worry about it. He goes, it's going to take 3 sessions, at least 2 hours per session. He goes, we're only in 30 minutes. I'm like, the good news just keeps on rolling. And he's talking to me. He goes, don't worry. Don't worry about all my time. It's all paid for. Your dentist paid for my time. I'm like, okay, drill away. I mean, when was the last time your dentist pays for the trophy root canal? That's the blessing of God. When you get your life in the kingdom, things will start happening for you. Amen? I want to share something. This message actually, I have to give Sharon credit for this because she broke this in the spirit. Glory to God. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 33. The thing about the kingdom, people ask me all the time, say, well, how do you move in the jurisdiction of the kingdom? I said, well, I'll close your eyes. I said, now move. And they said, I don't have anywhere to go. I said, exactly. You have no grid. You have no revelation. The kingdom of God, you cannot move in the kingdom without revelation. The kingdom's invisible. It's invisible. It's tangible, but invisible. But what makes it visible is revelation, but not visible to the natural eye, visible to the spiritual eye. To move into the kingdom, you're going to have a revelation from God's word that describes an operation whereby you can move into that operation because you get enlightened. Say enlightened. If you don't have any light, that's what Paul was praying over the Ephesians, that the understanding be enlightened. If you have no light, you can't move because you have no grid, you have no compass. If you close your eyes, you can't see where you're going, then you need a revelation first. Don't even try to move into the kingdom without a revelation because you're just going to move into yourself. Everybody knows when they're in the glory, when the glory shows up. But that's corporate glory. When you're at home, you're sitting in the closet and you're trying to get in the kingdom of God, and you're trying to move somewhere, and you don't have a revelation, the first thing you got to do is get enlightened. You got to have a revelation. When you get a revelation, then your spirit will attach itself to the revelation and you'll move into an invisible realm and you'll move from one jurisdiction to another. And when you get really good at it, you can pull all your emotions in there. You can turn whole battles that have been signed against you. You can turn them around. It takes 6 months to come out of that. Sometime a year and you come out in a day because you can just escape. I remember last time this strong man visited me. I don't talk about it a lot, but boy, he was hammering me. I mean, when it talked about the Lord said 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness and the angels had to come and minister to him, when Satan came, he doesn't come just talking. He comes with a fury. It feels like a freight train running through you. Paul called it an evil day. You have to know what to do with these guys when they show up. Because they can make things look in ways that they don't appear, but they can twist things. And they do it with emotions. And sometimes you can say, I rebuke you with all your spiritual mumbo jumbo, you know. You ever done that? I rebuke you and nothing happens. I mean, after 3 days of this thing, I said, I'm done with you. And I just locked in. I said, I am going to go up, 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 up into the mountain of God. I mean, it took a little while, but I got up in the mountain and it broke. When it broke, he just broke. I haven't seen him since. You can get higher than your enemies if you understand who you are. You can rise above the storm. That's why the storms never affected the Lord. Only the disciples in the boat were affected. He was sleeping. He always lived above the storm. Amen. You can live. It's our inherited right to live above, but we have to learn of him. Amen. This is an amazing revelation Sharon brought out. Glory to God. Deuteronomy 33, verse 12. Now, this is the blessing on Benjamin. Now, see, these are revelations, and when you get a revelation, and when your eyes of your understanding open, then you have a grid. You have a compass. And once the compass comes, you can move by way of the compass. Amen? This is an awesome compass. Glory to God. Look at the blessing on Benjamin. On Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Now, I like the NIV translation of this. It says, let the beloved of the Lord. Now, Benjamin means son of my right hand. Say, son of my right hand. We're all about the right hand of God. Been raised together, made to sit together at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. That's where Christ dwells. That's where we dwell. The right hand's a very big place. There's a lot happening in the right hand of God. Benjamin received the blessing of being the son of the right hand of God. That is huge. I mean, out of all the blessings, Benjamin got that one. NIV says, let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him. So Benjamin is the son of the right hand. He's favored. He's the beloved of the Lord. And he's resting securely in the Lord. That's a very high place. And notice what he says. He says, for he, the Lord, shields him all the day long. See, Benjamin was shielded, beloved, favored, in a position of rest, all because he was positioned. Notice where he positioned. And the one the Lord loves. Sounds like John. You know, John wrote the book of John. That's pretty deep, isn't it? John wrote the book of John. He said, in the disciple whom the Lord loveth. He didn't say that just once. He said it several times. I think he was kind of, prodding the other disciples a little bit. You know, the disciple whom the Lord loves. He says, the one whom the Lord loves, rest. Look at this. Between his shoulders. Think about that. The shoulders of the Lord. The Bible says the earth is my footstool. Heaven is my throne. Where do you think his shoulders are? They're in the throne. Remember when you were a little kid? Your mom or your dad would put you up on their shoulders. You remember when you would go into like a carnival or something and a bunch of people and you'd be up on the shoulders. You were riding high. See, when you're dwelling in the shoulders, you're above. The shoulders of the Lord is the resting place of Benjamin. It's there that he's shielded. It's there that he's favored. It's there, it's an exalted position given to the sons and daughters of the right hand of God. It's an inheritance for the last day church to dwell. Now that imagery is what you need. Not just the knowledge of it, but you need the revelation of it. I have a right to dwell. If heaven is the throne of God and the earth is a footstool, if I'm dwelling in the midst of the shoulders, then I'm dwelling with him. You see yourself dwelling on the shoulder. Where are burdens born? On the shoulder. But in the shoulders of God, you're not having to bear the burden. He's bearing. He bears the burden. That's where the burden is transferred. See, when we bear the weights in this life and the burdens of the world, it's because we're living here. We're not designed to live in a footstool. We're designed to live in the shoulders of God. Amen. That's where he bears us up. Either you bear you up or he bears you up. Are you tired of bearing yourself up? It gets quite heavy down here, bearing the stuff. Look at what he says in Isaiah there, chapter 9, verse 6. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Notice this, and the government, say the government, shall be upon his shoulder. The government dwells in the shoulder. The government dwells there. The spiritual government of God, the administrations, the operations dwell in the shoulders of God. That is your place. Say, that's my place. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty God. Notice this, verse 7. Look at this. And the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So where is increase? It's in the shoulder of God. I had this guy ask me to go to the Astros game the other night, and I went, and we were in the dugout section, and he's pretty well-to-do, and he was asking me different things. I said, you know, there's a lot of ways to be blessed. This guy's pretty blessed. I said, but there's increase in the shoulders of God. He looked at me and said, what? I said, there's certain places in God, if you find it, things will start happening for you. If you're stuck, it's because you might be in the footstool when you should be sitting in the shoulders. And it's about position. You can position your company. You can position your business. You can position your family. You can position the church. It's getting positioned. Different churches get positioned in God. You have to be positioned by revelation. Amen? There's an increase. And there's a government and there's a glory that rests in the shoulders of God. It's where he bears the burden. That's why he says, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, because he's going to bear the burden. He'll put it on his shoulder, see. He puts the burden on his shoulder, but you got to dwell in the shoulders of God. It's not in an earthly position, because that's where the footstool of God is. It's in the heavenly position. You have to get accustomed to know that you have rights to dwell there, having therefore boldness to enter in. Granted access by faith. But then there's places in God. There's different positions in God. There's a position of rest. There's a position of throne. But then there's the shoulders where the government dwells. There's increase there. There's a lot of activity in the shoulders of God. It's a resting place for you, but it's an active place for God. So when you have been brought to stillness, when flesh has been brought to stillness, and when you sat down, you sit in the shoulders of God, you camp in the shoulders of God, then God starts operating. It's a huge spiritual principle. Very hard to obtain if you don't know how, but once you learn, it gets easy. And life will get easy because God will do it for you. And you don't have to do it yourself. If life's very hard, you feel like you're carrying 1,000-pound weight, it's probably because you are carrying 1,000-pound weight. And you got to move to the shoulders of God, out of the footstool, because you're in the feet, and the feet's bearing all the burden. You like being in the feet? I want to be in the shoulders. I want to be carried. Amen? Are you carrying or are you being carried? That's a good question. Are you carrying? Are being carried? Are you bearing the burden? Are you on the shoulders of God? Amen? Because as you dwell in the shoulders, you're in a place of rest. He says, my beloved, you'll be shielded. Say shielded. Feel the shield of God. You'll be shielded all the day long. He'll shield you from the enemy. He'll shield you from assignments. He'll shield you instead of walking headlong. I can't tell you how many times I walk right into a fiery inferno. Just walk right into it. But as you're dwelling with God, he leads you away from it. He shields you from assignments. Listen to this. When you're dwelling in the shoulders of God, when someone throws a dart at you, it'll feel like a mosquito. When you're not in the shoulders of God, that dart will feel like a sword running through you. When someone hurls abuse at you, or tribulation or storms come at you, if you're in the shoulders of God, you're above them, so they're not going to affect you. But if you're not, you're going to get blown off course. You're going to get affected by the storm. If you're in the shoulders of God, you'll be living in favor when others are living in trouble. It's all about position. The disciples were rowing in trouble, but the Lord was in the shoulders of the Father. So he was in the same boat, same vicinity, different jurisdiction. He was in a heavenly jurisdiction, and the disciples were in an earthly jurisdiction. It's all about jurisdictional transfer. It's all about revelation. It's all about the favor of God. Close your eyes a minute and see yourself on the shoulders of God. Like he's holding your hands and you're up, up, up on the shoulders of God. And there's light and there's liberty and there's freedom and there's glory and there's grace and there's a shield around you and there's rest and all your burdens have been lifted and you're free like a little child. If you humble yourself as just a little child, these are the greatest in the kingdom. You're just the son of the right hand of God, born upon the shoulders of God. All the storms, you just left them. You left the footstool. You left the knees. Now you're on the shoulder. See, you're designed to dwell on the shoulders of God because you're Benjamite. You're sons and daughters of the right hand of God, and you're free. You're free. You're free. See, you feel the freedom upon the shoulders of God. You can see. When you're in a crowd and you get upon daddy's shoulders, you get to see. Imagine yourself in the middle of a crowd and you're this tall and everybody else is this tall. And you're trying to see, you can't see anything. But when you get up on the shoulders, your vision gets expanded. You're able to see. You're able to see what the enemy's doing. You're able to see what God's doing. You have clear discernment when you're on the shoulder. That's why the enemy's always going to fight your position. It's amazing to me why preachers don't preach more on this. It's amazing to me why there's not more messages on dwelling on high. It's not about dwelling here. It's about dwelling with Him. We are dead. Our life's hidden with Christ in the Father. All the liberty and the freedom of heaven is on the shoulders of God. Increases upon the shoulders. Peace and rest is in the shoulders. Favor's in the shoulders. Sight. See, if you major on position and you get position, then things start happening for you. God will start unlocking things, not just in the financial arena. He'll unlock all kinds of things for you. Your spirit gets, your soul gets unlocked. See, your emotions, they just stay in the rest and the peace of God. There's deliverance on the shoulders of God. So your strongholds can't live up there. See, they have to give way. They get broken. Amen. And that's a good thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. Psalm 63, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. See, you get upheld. When you get locked up into the shoulders and the resting place of God, you'll get upheld by God. If you're going to learn anything in this life, learn how to do this, because this is going to cause life to go very well for you. I know, I've been in ministry a long time. There's a lot of wars we could have avoided. Now we're learning how to dwell in the rest of God, learning in the peace, dwelling in the freedom, dwelling in the shield. It's a lot better being in the shield of God than being subject to one battle after another after another. You ever feel like you're just an open book for anybody to throw a dart at? It's because you have no shield. Your shield's been broken down. If you're in one battle after another, after another, after another, after another, your shield's broken down. If your emotions are always twisted, your shield's down. You got to get up into the shoulders of God. Rise into the shoulders. On the wings of an eagle, you rise. You'll know when you're in the shoulders of God. You can use that imagery, by the way, sitting on the Father's shoulders. You see that as a compass. You become aware that you're above only. You become aware that you're on the shoulders. You become aware that you're above the earth. You can see the shield of God and the glory of God and the rest of God's around you. Amen. Now, go to Isaiah 10. Isaiah 10, verse 27. And it shall come to pass. That's your trial. That's your battle. It came and it will pass. That his burden shall be taken away from off the shoulder and the yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing that breaks the yoke is in the shoulders of God. Listen, you can have an anointing broken. How many times you ever had a breakthrough, gotten into a conference or in a service like last Wednesday night? Whew. Have an anointing broken off of you, and then next week you're in the same stuff again. It's because you're in the footstool. As long as we're in the footstool, the enemy keeps wrapping the foot stuff around you. The foot's not a real fun place to be. You want to be up. High above. Say high above. The principalities and the powers of the earth. Glory to God. That's where the anointing that breaks the yoke. It breaks it. Amen. I like this one here. Isaiah 22. This actually ties into the book of Revelation. There's all kinds of good stuff about Isaiah. Glory be to God. Verse 15. Thus saith the Lord, go get thee unto this treasure, even Shebna, which is over the house. So Shebna, he's a treasurer of Judah. He got really proud. He decided he wanted to be buried with all the fathers and exalt himself. And that's probably not the only thing he did. But whatever the case, he got on God's bad side. And in the Old Testament, if you got on God's bad side, you're in trouble. I mean, that is serious trouble. We're in a dispensation of mercy and grace. But back then, woo! That's amazing to me how people want to go back under the law. I'm like, why would you want to do that? I said, you understand what they did under the law? If you picked up a stick on the Sabbath day, you could be stoned for that. For picking up a stick. You want to live in that? If you had a controversy and strife under the law, in Deuteronomy 25, you were taken before the elders. And you better just hope you're innocent. And if you're not innocent, you better hope you're pleading a better case than the other one. And you better hope the elder you're in front of has discernment. Because the guilty party is going to get lashed. Up to 39 lashes for strife. How many of you like our dispensation already? Praise the Lord. But Shebna got God. He was in trouble with God. God said, you're out. I'm going to cast you out. I'm going to give your office and your government. I'm going to commit to another. And he called Eliakim. It's the only time this Key of David's mentioned in the entire Old Testament. It's only mentioned one other time concerning the Church of Philadelphia in the New, which is about to come. There's two church ages that are about to hit. Church of Philadelphia and Laodicea. You haven't even seen Laodicea yet. Laodicea is coming with a wealth transference that's coming through the Church of Philadelphia. Eliakim gets the call. Notice what he says to Shebna in verse 18. He says, he will surely, violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. And there you shall die, and the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of the Lord's house. I mean, he really ticked the Lord off. Because I will drive thee from thy station. It shall come to pass in that day that I'll call my servant Eliakim. This was prophetically speaking of Christ. He says, and I'll clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. I will commit thy government into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the house of Judah. Now I love this, verse 22. And the key, say the key, of the house of David, I will lay upon his shoulder. That key belongs to the Benjamites. That key dwells in the shoulder of God. That's a key like no other key. It's a key that opens the government of David. It's a king-priest government. It's a full-blown king-priest government that's dwelling in the shoulders of God. That key is located. Now, everyone say, give me the key of David, give me the key of David. He already told you where it's at. That's a key for the key. He just gave you a key for the key. Some things you don't ask God to give you, you go to where it is. Come unto me. There's a place called rest. There's a place where living water is dispensed in the glory realm. There's a place where power is dispensed. When there's a controversy and strife and a guilty party receive up to 39 stripes, there's a place in glory now because the Lord stood in the seat of controversy. He stood in the seat and took the 39 stripes for the controversy of man. That's why he says, by his stripes you are healed. He wasn't really talking about physical healing with the stripes because he had already borne the healings on the cross. By his stripes we're healed. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. He bore those on the cross. It was the stripes. It was the healing of the controversy of one with another. See, he stood and took that. The Lord stood in the seat of the controversy, took the 39 stripes for all controversy. So there's a place in glory where you can go and settle the controversy you have trespasses, betrayals, strife, unforgiveness. There's a place in the right hand. I know that place because the Lord taught me that place when we had a massive church split. It took me a whole year even want to pray again. But once he did, he says, I want you to forgive them. I said, Lord, I have forgiven them 1,000 times. He goes, no. He goes, you haven't forgiven them from the heart. I said, well, look, from my heart I forgive. He goes, well, it's a lot deeper than that now. He said, that stuff's locked up in your heart now. But I'm going to show you a place to unlock it. I want you to bring them before the throne of grace and administration where I took the 39 stripes. I have healing for both parties, and I want you to bring them before me, the throne of grace, and I want you to begin blessing them. I want you to begin bringing them with you. They're already in you anyway. They're in your heart. If someone's in your heart, you can run to Africa. They're going to be in your heart. You can run to South America. They'll still be with you. You got to take them up to that place where the administration, the reason why he can break that, because he took the punishment, see, for the controversy. He took the punishment for the trespass. So you can release it there where he is. See, there's a place for that. I'm saying that because there's also a place where the government dwells. That's the government of David. That's the king-priest government. And that's where the key is. It's in the shoulders of God. Somebody heard me today. Some really discerning intercessor that's been wanting that key for a long time has heard me. See, God positions things in his word. He likes you to go. It's like a treasury. You got to go find it, but there's a key. How do I find the key? I got to get in the shoulders of God. That's where the key is. It belongs to the Benjamite. It's part of the blessing of the sons and daughters of the right hand. When you sit in the shoulders of God, all the things we discussed, but that key's there too. And that key, if you're listening to me today, is going to unlock the Church of Philadelphia. Church of Philadelphia is like no other church. The government of David will come through that church. It is to come. It's the last great move of God. It's going to be initiated very soon. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Do you understand the key of David opens the whole thing? It opens the last day government of God. What everyone's looking for is going to be opened by one great key that Christ holds, because the only other time it's mentioned is church, mentioned in the Church of Philadelphia. He that had the key of David, he openeth and no man could shut. When God opens this key, he open over a city, that government will flow into the city, and there's not a principality around that can stop the flow of it. When he opens the key for the wealth transference, there's not a principality in the world that can stop it. When he opens, that's a treasury government coming down. The treasury storehouses of the Most High God are going to release in this hour. And there's one key that's going to release it. And nobody on the earth has that key. Christ himself holds that key, and he sits in the shoulder. It's in the shoulders, intercessors. Glory to God, it's in the shoulders of God. I'm going into his shoulders. How do I go there? You take those revelations and you hold them in your heart and you become aware that you're dwelling in the shoulder of God. More awareness with the government. Aware of the shields around you. Aware of the favors around you. Aware that the whole government is sitting in his shoulders. And the key that there's a lot of us in here are waiting on that big door to open. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. There's a lot of people waiting on that door to open. There's only one key to open that door. Man cannot open that door. There's so much in that big key in that church, this last church age. Remember I told you, you can have knowledge, you got a revelation. Why I've been preaching to you, it's why I can't close. I've gotten a revelation. And inside, I'm going like... On the outside, I'm very... composed, but inside I'm exploding right now. If I could peel back my flesh suit, lightning rods would come out. If you get a revelation, I know how to get positioned now. I'm going after that key. If you have ears to hear, jump in there. Jump in.
In Psalm 68:24, it says, look, the little tribe of Benjamin, that's the remnant. Those are the sons of God's right hand. And the sons that were seated at the right hand of God were the sons that were given the ruling power for the kingdom of God. Those were the sons that were seated in the position of favor. And it says, look, the little tribe of Benjamin leads the way. Then comes a great throng of rulers from Judah and all the rulers of Zebulun and Naphtali. And Zebulun and Naphtali were the business tribes. Behold, in the land of Zebulun, that the Lord has seen, or the people have seen, a great light, revelation, understanding. All the apostles were businessmen. God is getting ready to do a great work in the business realm, and we are going to live to see it.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.